In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Your grace, brethren in Christ. Christ is in our midst. What reason brought the Son to make the request of his inheritance from his dead, saying, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me"? What reason did he have? One might imagine three possible reasons. The first possible reason is his liberal tendency. This son wants to be on his own. He is not happy and pleased to live under the authority of his dad. He thought that nothing should interfere in the freedom of his personal lifestyle. It could be that he was tired of this family lifestyle. Living under his dad's roof, his individual freedom might be threatened. He is unable to choose his own personal way of living. Being dissatisfied, he refused to trust himself to his gentle and generous Father, who is a symbolic figure of the heavenly God. Thus, liberty, when is misused, might lead to radical individualism, a refusal to admit limits to the gratification of the self. Deserting, however, his dad's affection, he became a refugee from fatherly love, happiness of peaceful life in his dad's house. The second possible reason is his greed. The son could not wait his dad's death to get his wealth. He was impatient. He could not wait until the death of his dad to receive his inheritance. He said to him, "Give me the share of the property that will belong." Listen to the verb will, the auxiliary verb will belong to me. He decided to flee from a generous provider so that he might squander his inheritance in his own way. He was hungry for acquisition of his dad's money. He wanted to reap where he did not sow and to gather where he did not scatter. See the enormous difference between a dad who is a great custodian, a steward of his wealth and provider for his children as he made plans for his children's welfare, and a son who is a poor steward spending and squandering the wealth of his dad. He squandered his dad's property and wasted his father's property living among prostitutes. Notice also the gentleness of this dad, for he did not ask him even one question about the reason of his request and departure. And St. Luke says, he divided his property between them. The third possible reason is pleasure. He had the desire to get the pleasure of his flesh from the generosity of his dad while he was still alive. He wanted to live in the realm of lustful passion, which is the same as to be in the realm of darkness. His hedonistic motives enticed him to pursue his pleasure, especially the pleasures of his senses. He is a lover of the pleasures of the flesh. rather than lover of his dad. The devil deceives him by the pleasure of life, which are pseudo-pleasures. In fact, these pleasures led him to famine and pain. Finally, he is assigned to the swine, sentenced to them, and given over to their service. This prodigal son is a precursor of modern hedonism, by which the new generation is tempted. Secular children are tempted by the quest of happiness, prosperity, and success. It is this very modern tendency which lies in the center of their personal and social lives. When left unchecked, it will lead to depression, self-exploitation, and even self-abuse. We believe that every hedonist will one day want and suffer starvation, because nothing is enough for prodigal enjoyment. He who does not know how to be filled with fatherly nourishment always suffers starvation. Despite all of this, the prodigal son did not lose his honorable title of son. In the land of starvation, he remembered how many hired servants are at this moment in my father's house who have more than enough bread, but here I am perishing from hunger. He felt that he is a sinner. He had sinned to such an extent that he had thrown to the winds the entire inheritance he had received from his dad. He still, though, called God his dad. This indicates that the grace of the Spirit did not depart from him. He returned saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." This is the first confession before his dad. When he confesses like that, he will be considered worthy of more than that for which he prayed. He continued, "I am not more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants." He knows that there is a difference between sons, friends, hired servants, and slaves. His father neither takes him in like a hired servant, nor treats him like a stranger. His dad fell on his neck and kissed him. This is how the father corrects his prodigal son and give him not beatings but kisses. The power of love overlooked the transgressions. The father redeemed the sins of his son by his kiss and covered them by his embrace in order not to expose the crimes or humiliate the son. The father so healed the son's wounds so not to leave a scar or blemish upon him, and to satisfy his hunger, he kills the fatted calf. The father's devotion, however, created the envy of his elder brother. having a priestly character, the Gospel of St. Luke began with the priest Zechariah offering incense to God. And here the fatted calf was already being prepared, which was to be sacrificed for the finding of the prodigal son. Dear brethren in Christ, let us call all those who separate themselves from Christ, living in an exile from his kingdom in the shadow of death, to come back so that we may embrace them and offer to them the best spiritual sacrifice. Let us call them saying, come all of you who depart from the word of God, all of you who live by the bread alone, come back from your alienation, come back to receive the kiss from the Heavenly Father. Come and taste the goodness of his love. Let us welcome those who return from a distant land, because we were also once in a distant land. Since Christ chooses those who repent, let us exhort those who have been alienated, saying, rise and return to the church. Here is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.